So the practice of insight meditation is concerned with, among a range of things, the development of insight. And the significance of understanding what's actual, what's real in our lives is fundamental to the transformative and liberating potential that the Buddha's teachings and practices offer us. And so, just as we enter into the day, a couple of things I want to name in that context that the teaching and the practice that's offered, that I'll be endeavoring to share with you, is something drawn from the teachings of the Buddha, who was a human being like ourselves, who was deeply engaged with the questions of what really is important and what really supports well-being and happiness, peace and freedom in life. And the teachings and practices that he offered are, to my mind, a remarkable gift, a remarkable offering to the world, from one human being to another and others, of whom I and I think we are beneficiaries. And so meditation, which has become something, I think, much more accepted and familiar in our culture and our world over the last 20, 30 years, certainly than it was, and I still remember with some kind of vague nostalgia, actually, the times when speaking about meditation would be a quick way to end a conversation, usually with some degree of concern on the face of whoever was at the other end of the conversation as to whether they should get me some help, or get themselves some help with regard to the potential exposure to someone engaged in such a strange thing. I think there's a real understanding in our world these days about the value of paying attention, about being present, about what mindfulness can offer us as just a support for well-being through being more present and connected. And this is one of the fundamental elements of the Buddha's teaching, absolutely. And yet it is also married with and very much a close companion of the direction that meditation leads in towards uncovering the ways we don't necessarily see precisely or accurately the nature of our experience, the nature of life. And the theme of the day, to be engaged with some contemplation in regard to the truth of change and of impermanence, is a central theme of the Buddha's teaching. As I think, entitled the day, Living in Rental Accommodation. I'll say a little more later why that particular way of describing it is very resonant for me. But I think the phrase itself perhaps evokes some sense of what what this particular area of teaching invites us to consider. Having said that, however, the initial orientation for the day is towards the practice of meditation and, as Jackie said, spending a period of time in relative silence, having the opportunity to be close with ourselves, to be connected with our immediate experience. That silence isn't, or being in silence, and so far as not engaging in the normal casual conversation we have with each other, not engaging with the world of devices and information and communication through electronic mediums, which is, and Jackie said, turn them off. I was going to say, and that means off, not just onto silent, because there's a way in which it's actually really helpful for us to disengage from that realm of instantly available and, of course, very useful and often beneficial access to communication and to information, of which there is a vast amount out there, and to actually prioritize the direction or the avenues and the access we have to a, what we could say, an inner communication and an inner source of information that arises directly out of our experience. That isn't information about things so much as information about the fundamental nature of our experience. And so, coming into a day of practice, that framework of silence, and also just to establish consciously for oneself and together, I find it important just acknowledging that these teachings and practices are concerned with our well-being. Because, and I trust this is true for all of us, we ourselves are concerned with our well-being. And I hope and trust also concerned with the welfare, the well-being of others. And so just naming that as this is what we're engaged in, something in the service of well-being, of ourselves, of each other. Having that as a primary intention for our time together, for the ways we relate to ourselves, to our experience, and to others in the world. And of course, what we see is the wish to engage and to support and serve our well-being doesn't necessarily translate into a always easily available ability to do so. Many things make that challenging. And one of the first things that we perhaps are invited to look at, to attend to in this regard, is the way that our mind's activity tends to lead to our attention being often entangled or caught up in ways of looking and things we become engaged with that don't necessarily serve our deeper well-being. And so the initial invitation to just put things down, to step away a little, as it were, from the normal activity and engagement. And when one's just come from one's home or one's life, perhaps not so far from here, there's not necessarily the geographic separation or the time separation in terms of having made a journey that supports that in the way that in the old days perhaps one might go off to the desert or the cave or the forest or the mountain or the sea, wherever one might kind of get a little distant from the busy world of human activity. And so again, just a conscious and intentional acknowledging what one has done already, but making it intentional. Oh, actually, this day is an opportunity to put down, to step away from, to give ourselves some space from the things that at another time are, of course, appropriate for us to engage and attend to. But for now, we're saying, not today, not so much, not so unquestioningly, or in such an unexamined way. And at the same time, bearing in mind that in a certain way, the world comes with us. The world that arises in our hearts and our minds is very much the world we're engaged in. And that actually comes with us. But for now, the invitation and entering into the meditation practice is to simplify it. To turn our orientation towards the quality, the capacity we have, the quality of what is here and what is now, and the capacity we have to connect with that. To notice to what extent we are coming with a sense of what this day might be useful for, in what way today might contribute to my well-being tomorrow, or my life, or even just the hope that it might make me feel good and the concern that it might not. That tends to be somewhat oriented towards the future. Simple, natural responses we have. Nothing wrong with those. But to notice them and to say, oh, what would it be for today and even just right now to be about today and to be about just right now? See what that might offer. And so the practice of meditation then, with that framework of making a little space, orienting towards our intention, towards well-being, for support, for for ourselves and for others, for well-being, and that sense of turning towards what's right here, what's right now. It's easy in the practice of meditation to think that the meditation is defined by what we're paying attention to. And I'm often sort of not surprised, but curious to see the number of questions that go along the lines of, should I pay attention to this? Should I pay attention to that? What's the best way or the right thing I should pay attention to? And if you ask a dozen teachers, I'm sure you'll get at least 12 answers, possibly quite a few more than that, on what should I pay attention to. So far as it's a specific way or a specific thing to pay attention to. Meditation is actually much more about the way we pay attention than what we pay attention to, and about why we're paying attention in the first place. What is the intention behind the attention? That's actually what is significant, most fundamental and transformative. And so what's important and useful is to recognize that most of the time we unconsciously and habitually pay attention in order to produce a kind of result or an effect or an outcome that we feel would be conducive to our well-being or supportive of our happiness or in line with how we'd like things to be. And again, entirely understandable, not unreasonable. And there's a way in which, of course, that's part of what we do. We only do what we do, in a sense, because at some level we imagine this will serve us, or serve our world, or serve something we care about. Why would we do anything for any other reason? Of course. And yet, that tends to create a habitual looking at what's happening to see, is it fulfilling what I wanted to fulfill? A habitual kind of trying to get from the experience something. Here, part of the shift or the orientation is more towards, let's see what the experience has to reveal. Let's not look at it as something I'm trying to get something from or a way to get to a particular place. But to see, what does it have to reveal? What is it offering right now? So, in support of that, of course, there are many instructions, and I'll be giving some in just a moment, with regard to how and to what we can pay attention. But understanding the how of it and the why we're doing it as being primary, and the what we pay attention to, there are many ways one could answer the question as to what. What's often helpful is something that's immediate. That's something that's available without us having to produce it, and that's accessible. But the requires is just to have to make a little bit of an intentional effort towards connecting with it. Because that develops, deepens, and strengthens our capacity to pay attention, to consciously choose what we orient towards, what we connect with, rather than having that choice made by our habitual reactions towards that which is loudest or strongest or compelling us in line with what we either wish for or don't wish for. Being able to make a choice. And so using, and what I would suggest is using the sense of the body, and within the sense of the body, the felt experience of sitting, because that's what the body is doing as its primary expression of posture, of shape right now. And within that, the experience of the breathing that moves within the body. Again, because these experiences are happening right here, right now, they're quite accessible, but they also require a certain refinement and development of our attention. So it would be really easy to practice if I just thump this bell every 3 seconds and said, just pay attention to the sound of the bell. It's reasonably pleasant. At least it might get a bit annoying if I did it for 40 minutes, but it would help us stay awake, but only at the level we're already able to be present. Part of what's useful about the breath is that As we turn into the body, into the breathing, and we settle, it becomes actually quieter over time. And it requires the attention to become therefore more subtle to stay with. What that means is that, of course, quite a bit of the time, and maybe quite a lot of the time to begin with, we aren't able to stay with. If we were, it would be like doing an exercise we can do so easily that we're not getting any development from it. So it's really important to understand that that process of not quite being able to sustain the attention and coming back again and again from wherever we find ourselves drawn to, that that's actually an important and useful part of it. And that the exercise, we could say, of the meditation is set up intentionally and specifically to create that effect. And one can avoid that effect by giving oneself something more easy to hold on to, in a way, with one's attention, and that will produce some calm and some well-being, that's fine, but it won't really develop so deeply the capacity that is fundamental to what meditation offers us, the capacity to pay attention. So having said that, and just by way of, in a way, introduction to the instructions that I'll give, which will be relatively simple and brief, just noticing what it is, having heard that, and see what resonates or not, to just turn one's attention to the body. Perhaps one's attention is already there. It's interesting to notice with attention in the body, we can still hear quite clearly and comprehend quite fully what is said. We don't need to leave the immediate experience of body in order to receive and engage in other things. And if you're sitting in a chair, it's really useful to have your feet flat on the ground, to have them placed intentionally rather than just casually. So the feet, you feel the contact with the earth, and ideally sitting in such a way that the torso can be upright. If that needs a little support in the lower back with a cushion or something, that's fine. If you're able to sit slightly forward on the chair and support your own torso, that's actually a really useful training for your body. If you can't sustain it for the whole time, that's fine. Or if you have an injury or a vulnerability in your back and you need the support, that's okay. But then again, support the lower back so that you're not slumping forwards or backwards. And what that means is then that the curve in the lower back is supported rather than collapsed. Likewise, if you're sitting on the floor, useful to have a clear sense of where the body is in contact with the ground. If kneeling, that's pretty well inevitable. If cross-legged and you notice your knees aren't in contact with the ground, sometimes putting something under one knee to just earth it, very helpful. Now, the part of what we're establishing is a grounding of the body, allowing the physical form to be in full contact with the earth, to be able to rest upon the earth. And then a quality of uprightness, of noticing what it's like as the torso extends up, arises, and is extended vertically from the pelvis. Just paying a little attention to the abdomen to notice if there's any holding or pulling in. We often hold our belly in, conforming to ideas about shape and appearance that we've been rather unfortunately force-fed, most of us. Just allowing one's belly to hang out if it wishes to. It's actually a support for the posture. And so the space between the pelvis and the breastbone, sternum, is open, extended. Allowing the shoulders to be soft, gently move or ease their way backwards, downwards. Likewise, allowing the head to be light upon the shoulders and extended upwards. Just opening your eyes maybe for a moment and noticing how your posture is. Not being concerned about your neighbor's posture, but just noticing. It's often helpful to get a sense of where one's body ends up unconsciously or habitually. And to see what's it like to actually sit upright, self-supported. Bringing a quality of wakefulness into the posture through that alertness, that uprightness, that intentionality. And then equally allowing the body to relax, to soften. Insofar as it doesn't need to be engaged in supporting the posture. Inviting some releasing of any holding around the face, the eyes, the temples, the jaw, the cheek. Noticing around the back of the head, the throat. And just relaxing with that, allowing any holding that's there to soften so far as it can. Likewise, allowing the shoulders to be soft. Chest open, belly soft and with room to move. So the breathing can flow naturally in your body, just as it does. Bringing your attention into contact with that experience of breath moving in your body. Noticing what stands out to you, what you experience directly. As the air enters through the nostrils, moves down through the throat into the chest, and the chest expands, the belly rises as we breathe in. And how the belly drops and the chest softens and relaxes as the air moves up through the throat and out through the nostrils. And just for now, being interested to connect with this experience just as it is. Not looking for a particular kind of breathing. Not needing to evaluate or measure our breathing in any way, but just to know the experience directly. Settling into this experience. And whenever your attention is drawn to some other experience, to notice that. Without judging or criticizing the experience that's arisen for yourself. Without pushing it away or needing to do something with it. Not taking hold of it. But simply releasing it. Through the conscious returning of one's attention to the body sitting here, breathing in, breathing out. Being mindful, being sensitive, conscious, and present with this experience, just as it is. Beginning again, when you notice you're disconnected or have become lost, returning your attention to this body sitting here, breathing in, breathing out. Being awake to this experience, just as you are.